Type of mobile phone scam called SIM swapping.
This was one of the largest data breaches in history.
We are playing fast and loose with our data.
It's important to understand the sheer scale here.
Surveillance capitalism is driven to shape and influence our behavior.
It's just kind of a shrug, like, well, what can you really do?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to Signal Jam, a new privacy podcast that makes digital privacy practical and accessible. I am your co-host, Michael.
And I'm Jay. And we are two normal dudes who value our privacy. I know I started this probably a couple of years ago, maybe 4 or 5. From then on, it's been this marathon, this journey of, I guess, gradually growing in understanding of what is available readily on the internet, and also what I need to protect and value to protect. You started, how long would you say?
Yeah, I'd say roughly about the same time. I think I started either late 2018, early 19, something like that.
Yeah, and it's just been a long, exciting, challenging journey for me. I feel like every step of the way, I'm feeling, I guess, more comfortable online. And obviously, you know, this kind of stuff, it seeps into reality fairly quickly. Where it's not just online anymore; it's in real life. You're going about your day, and you realize, oh, do I normally have to hand over this information? Do I normally have to just palm over this data that normally I'm going through such lengths to protect online, but in real life I'm just happily handing this over? And it's gone to the point where, you know, I'm starting to apply these same techniques in the real world. And you've got these stumbling blocks, these hurdles every so often, these challenges, and every time you face those, you think, oh, there's got to be a way around this. And and obviously, being in Australia, we establish a lot of hurdles, probably more in terms of we don't talk about it quite as much. Mm-hmm. A lot of privacy podcasts, sites, YouTube channels, Reddit communities, they all focus fairly heavily on usually the US.
Yeah, that's true.
Occasionally Canada. But I think that's where I kind of want to go into that point where I think privacy should be an international venture. And that's kind of where I see this podcast going. It's a community of internationally like-minded folk getting together and discussing the various ways we circumvent our nation's unnecessary capitalist surveillance systems in place. And I think every kind of person has something they can probably give to the community that maybe we don't hear about as often. So that's kind of where I see this podcast going.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And you know, I'll share some thoughts I have too, but I wonder, maybe we can kick this thing off by kind of giving a bit of background. Like, I'm always interested to hear people's inception point for, you know, what turned them on to privacy. You know, some people have kind of a gradual journey. That's kind of how I would describe mine. Other people have like sort of a flash in the pan moment where everything changed. What was it for you? Like, you know, what turned you onto this whole journey and process?
Much like everyone else, I've been involved in various data breaches in the past. I never really gave it much thought. I was kind of locked into the Apple ecosystem. Considered myself a bit of an Apple fanboy for a while there. Till I realized there were other options. Much like many people in the privacy space, we all kind of stumble upon this to some degree, or at least particular shows and media which discuss this. In my case, Mr. Robot was a commonly well-known one, but there was a moment there. I remember I saw, you know, when they used Wickr, so my first encrypted messenger app, which I obviously I don't recommend that now, but for various reasons. But it was the first time I dabbled with it. I was like, oh, I didn't realize this was a thing I should be considered. Like an option in my daily arsenal. Like I had all these other apps, these games that I unnecessarily gave permission. And I remember, I think in the past we discussed how I kind of got caught up in the classic Zynga data breach.
Oh, yeah.
I was playing Words with Friends way back in high school. And I got caught up in that. And then I never once gave it any thought until later, you know, again, Mr. Robot. I was like, oh, encrypted messenger. I'm like, hang on, what other things should I be using?
Right.
And then I downloaded Tor browser. I was like, oh, Proton Mail, it's an encrypted mail provider. I didn't realize Gmail wasn't a good option. Like, I was, you know, using that same email address for everything. I'm like, oh, simple login's a thing as well. Or look, where am I storing my passwords? I'm using the same thing everywhere. Hang on, I should be mixing this up. They should be long, and I should really only remember one. My password manager should be doing everything. I don't know. There's a lot of things that kind of like gradually it started off with the one thing, and sure, before I knew it, it cascaded.
Yep.
In like domino effect of one thing is like, oh, if I'm doing that, I should probably do this too. If I'm doing this, I should probably do that as well. And before I knew it, I'm here now using encrypted messages over VPNs, using free and open source software in a Linux distro. It's just all these things that kind of it gradually built onto this new journey of discovery. The internet suddenly became so much bigger. And I thought the internet was massive to begin with.
Right.
So that's kind of my journey. I guess yours is, I assume you alluded to the fact it was gradual. So maybe explain that.
Yeah, sure. Well, thanks for sharing yours. It's always enlightening to hear, you know, kind of how people get turned on to it. I think for me, gradual is probably the best way to describe it. I think my first exposure to any real sense of cybersecurity or cyber privacy was a Reddit post. I think at the time Spez had done an Ask Me Anything, and the top rated comment was, "What's your password?" And he had written back, "I don't know, and neither should you." And he had linked in that comment a link to 1Password. And it struck me as, and this was like back in 2012, I think, and it struck me as odd that I was like, this guy doesn't know his password. What the hell does that mean? You know, this guy's the administrator of one of the biggest forum sites in the world. And so that took me to 1Password. And I was like, oh, this is a really interesting concept, you know, and it kind of immediately made sense. And so I hopped on the 1Password train and stuck with that for probably, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, and nothing really changed. Then there was a more defining moment where my mind was sort of illuminated to the cyber privacy side of things. I was selling some stuff out of my house in preparation for a move, and I was putting a lot of the things up for sale on a platform called Craigslist. For anyone who may not be familiar with that in the United States and Canada and other areas of the world, there's an internet marketplace called Craigslist, where it's just kind of a really kind of basic static HTML website. You can post things for sale, and then you can communicate with buyers and sellers kind of IRL to pick this stuff up. And I made the mistake of attaching my phone number in these posts as a way to hopefully facilitate a smoother, more trustworthy transaction.
Rookie mistake. Sure, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I could see the look on your face. You knew this was going south. Yeah. A few months later, you know, well after I'd sold all this stuff, I started getting these weird spammy text messages. And it was, you know, me in a group text of like 60 plus some other people. And they were so obviously fake and spammy. You know, it was along the lines of like, "Hey, babe, my name is Rachel. I just moved in down the road and looking for a good time." And it was funny to see people like react to this in real time, because I saw it and I knew immediately what it was. And like, it took me a couple tries before I was like, oh, this is probably, you know, from the Craigslist crap. But people were trying to respond to it in real time, but like almost as if it was SMS short code. Like they were texting like "stop" in all caps or "opt out," you know, like trying to escape this madness. And soon it kind of became
I'm curious, did anyone respond intentionally and sincerely? Like, did they truly believe this? This is just Rachel down the road.
not to my memory, but then again, I didn't stick around long enough to find out, I guess. You know, like it kind of became this like whack-a-mole thing where like I would block the number, but then seemingly, you know, a few weeks would go by and I'd get a very similar or even identical text message from a different phone number. In a very similar group, like I could recognize some of the phone numbers from before, and people were doing the same thing. So you'd block that one, and it just kept going on for months and months. And it kind of like posed the question in my head, like, there's got to be a way that I can use a phone number for things like Craigslist, and then burn it when I'm done, and then still preserve a sense of privacy, like have this firewall so that I can have a phone number for my friends and family, not be bombarded with these ridiculous spam messages that I can never seem to get rid of. And so I was doing a little, at the time, Googling to see what a good solution for that might be, and had come across another Reddit post where somebody had mentioned an app called MySudo. And MySudo is a VoIP number provider for those who aren't familiar. You can get up to 9 different profiles, so to speak, that give you each a unique phone number, a unique email. There's even a browser built in. And so downloading the app, it kind of made sense instantly that, wow, I could use this thing for so many different purposes. I could have one for banking and financial, and one for, you know, the Craigslist crap, and one for this and that. And at first, I didn't quite understand, I think, even the value of why it's important to have a different phone number for each of these scenarios. But it just kind of like made inherent sense. But then I started using the app, and I had a couple issues down the road, and I reached out to their support team to ask a couple questions. And at this point, I was kind of like curious about it all. And I just said, like, hey, do you guys have a podcast about this stuff? Like, this is kind of interesting. I'm kind of intrigued by this privacy stuff. And the guy wrote back and he said, well, we don't. But there's a guy who sits on our advisory board, and he has a podcast, and he gave me the link. And that show was the Privacy, Security, and OSINT show with Michael Bazell. Once I started getting into that, and I'm sure you know too, Jay, I just kind of fell down the rabbit hole, you know?
Yeah, it's just kind of the kind of discovery of Michael Bazell is just, it's one of those pinnacle points for a lot of people. Just that first episode, much like you, it was the one I listened to was just, it was the techniques and methods he used, or the extent to which he went, made me think, oh, wow, I can actually take this further.
Right. Yeah. And I think that makes a great transition, like a good segue into, like, you know, let's talk about what we want this podcast to be. How is Signal Jam different? We want to cover the basics. We want to go back, you know, if you're brand new to privacy, where do you begin? What's the first thing you do? And then sort of progressively move into more advanced techniques and, you know, have a chance to discuss, you know, the latest news in privacy and tech, you know, maybe do a bit of analysis on what's happening in the real world. And then hopefully, you know, interview some more subject matter experts too.
We want to kind of, not just rehash and repeat what people already probably know, I guess, for those more advanced listeners, but also we don't want to totally ignore the basics if you are new to this and you kind of want to, you know, dip your toes in the water, kind of see what this kind of privacy stuff's about. I think one of the greatest insights we've often had is that we're both within the privacy space already, but there's ways in which we approach certain applications, certain techniques that we hadn't necessarily thought of, whether that's due to locale differences. Like I said, I'm in Australia, so what may work in the US won't necessarily work in Australia,
right?
And vice versa,
right?
So we also want feedback from the community as well. We want to hear what other people maybe have found out. Obviously, we want to share that with other people, but also we want to learn from you as a community to see kind of maybe we ourselves can maybe improve upon our own setups. And that's always something I'm keen to do is learn what other people do.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, as you and I have gotten to know each other and we've both discussed sort of how we've tried to make inroads into the privacy community and just talk with other people, it's kind of become abundantly clear that privacy is very much a spectrum. It's not monolithic. There are, you know, obviously you can boil it down into straight threat models. But a lot of it is just personal preference. And it's also about the resources that are available to you, whether that's constraints placed on you just by the jurisdiction you live in or what technology is available to you. So to your point, I absolutely agree. We want this to be a very community-driven podcast, kind of a two-way road, a crowdsourcing of information and perspective. So, I mean, Jay, let's talk a little bit about our roadmap. Where do we see this thing going? You know, I think for now we've kind of established that we're looking at once a month. You know, optimistically, we'd like to do more, but something feasible, we'd like to kind of focus, I think, more on quality over quantity. Do you want to talk more about that and kind of our approach?
So we kind of really want to cover the basics as like refreshes kind of thing. That way, again, if you're new to privacy, you're going to learn something. But if you're maybe you've been doing privacy, you know, for quite some time, those refreshes where we're discovering what new stuff is out there in a space in a particular topic we already feel like we're comfortable in. And then after we, you know, covered the basics, we want to kind of, as you said, we want to have discussions with other people with other opinions. We want to hear from the community directly. And of course, you know, obviously there's going to be news and events that are happening. I think some, as you say, some analysis of that. Maybe we'll review, you know, privacy software we've discovered recently that we don't know. We've only just discovered it. Maybe you haven't, or maybe you have, and you've got a particular setup you like about that software. again, we kind of want to hear about that too. Just kind of the, you know, the outside the normal kind of stuff that you hear on privacy podcasts and channels. We want to hear different setups, different techniques, something that you feel like isn't discussed enough. Or, you know, in our case, like everyday situations where we're using everyday solutions, which they don't scream that we're concerned about privacy. Like, there's that classic example of, you know, getting a cup of coffee and you decide you'll use a funny name. Like, you think about that in hindsight, you're doing it for laughs, but really you're protecting your privacy without even thinking about it.
And to that end, I might add that we do have some bigger ideas beyond just talking about like the practical steps that you can take every day to increase your privacy, your security, beyond talking about, you know, what's happening in the news or what's new in software and tech. We do have some kind of bigger ideas that, you know, obviously don't make sense to talk about right now. This is the very beginning and we just want to have fun. As I told you before, for me, this is kind of equal parts hobby and therapy and activism. So I want to have some fun with this and like kind of get to know other people out there. And as this thing hopefully grows, then we can maybe start, you know, shaping those ideas a little bit more and announcing them as it makes sense.
Yeah. And no, I definitely agree with you there. It's a case of, as you say, we've got plenty of ideas, about content we want to cover. I've been testing out some new techniques I'm really keen to openly discuss once I feel like I've settled on how my setup is. But there's some great stuff out there, and I'm always looking forward to exploring new things in regards to what people learn, new services, new companies, new ideas. We want to limit the barriers between this kind of knowledge. We don't want people to have to feel like they have to pay for this content when it should be free.
Yeah.
Like we want privacy to be adopted. We want to get behind the morality and ethics of that, of this is something we're passionate about for a reason. And we think you should be passionate about it as a community. So it's kind of we want to go all in. We want to discuss everything, but we want to do this in a way that's still freely available to all. And as I said, we've discussed previously the notion of like even compiling like a wiki or something where, you know, we've certain tips or techniques that we've learned. I would love to maybe get the community together to maybe create a chart of maybe like payment methods that we've found work in certain scenarios or services that we use particular based on our region. Because again, like I said, certain services just are not available in other nations that certain nations that do have them feel like that's a massive win for them, and other people have to kind of work their way around that kind of pitfall that we stumble across.
Yeah, absolutely. I think those are great points. And to kind of cap it all off, is we want this thing to be community driven, community focused, community sourced. Like we said, we're just kind of two normal dudes. I don't have a background or a degree or any kind of professional expertise in cybersecurity. This is just something I've been doing pretty consistently now for 5 or 6 years. And I've learned some things along the way, and you've learned some things along the way, and we've met people along the way who've learned some things along the way. And so that's the kind of stuff that we want to explore in greater depth.
It's the wonderful thing about this community is, like, if you're really willing and you kind of really put your ear to the ground, you can hear some wonderful things. Like you can learn something you didn't think you'd learn. Like I say, we connected, I think, over Simple Chat.
That's right. Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah. We met because of this. We met through Simple X.
Yeah. And it's still blows my mind. It's been a little over a year now, and you know, we've definitely discovered a lot in terms of setups, and this podcast wouldn't have been possible without the privacy community. So that's always kind of a good feeling to think that the community does have some people out there willing to just freely provide this information, to also freely discuss this in a way that's, again, approachable, comfortable to just, you know, discuss, converse. This podcast doesn't have that kind of rigid kind of flow of like, I'm reading a script. We want it to be conversational, because privacy is a conversation. It's one that you want to have before, you know, before that next data breach, before that leak, before that hack. So it's kind of, yeah, we want to kind of see this podcast being as a community.
Well, I guess we can close this off by saying, in the spirit of community, we have a few channels available to reach out to us. We have three for now. You can reach out to us through Tuda at signaljam@tudamail.com. You can also reach out to us on Proton Mail. That's signaljampodcast@proton.me. If you don't have Tuda or Proton, we also have PGP keys, and we'll leave those in the show notes and or on the website, depending on when this releases. We are working on potentially some other channels to include a Signal chat or a simple X chat. We'll announce those as they become available, if and when. For now, Tuda, Proton, or PGP encrypted email is the best way to get a hold of us. We'd love to hear your thoughts. What's on your mind? What are the things that you're working on privacy-wise? What are your concerns? What news or exciting information do you have to share with us? What things would you like to hear about? If there's questions you have, things that you want us to investigate, we'd love to hear about it. All right. Well, that does it for Signal Jam's introductory episode. Thank you for taking the time to listen to us and have us introduce ourselves. We're looking forward to the next few podcast episodes. What we have coming up next are going to be, as we mentioned, sort of the back to basics. We're going to have some introductory kind of elementary level stuff to kind of warm things up, get the blood flowing, and provide a pathway for people who may be newer to the scene. And a few more episodes down the road from now, we'll have some more interesting things to chat about, and potentially some interesting people to chat with. So until then, we will see you. Stay private.